Welcome to Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. Thank you so much. My name is Mark, and I am sitting in for Brian Lee. Riding shotgun with me tonight is Kevin. He is no stranger to the panel. Thank you so much for joining us. But Brian Lee has the night off. He needed a little break to refill the energy. So we are stepping in, talking something that I am very familiar with over on Disney Podcast, and that's Disney Parks. If you're tuning in, thank you so much for joining us here on the Nerd Life Network. Don't forget, hit the subscribe button, smash that like on this video. We would appreciate it if you share with a friend, because tonight we are talking about the Avengers Campus over in Disneyland, California. But before we do that, Kevin, man, how are you doing tonight? Thanks for joining. I'm so excited to talk Disney Parks.
I'm doing great. I'm glad that I was looking forward to this. Brian reached out like weeks ago when you said you were planning to go, and our good friend Sarah from the Nerdy Girls After Dark has also recently gone, but she's a bit under the weather tonight, so she's also not joining us. So it's just you and me writing this one. But yeah, I'm super excited to talk about this. I'm not a Disney Parks person to the near extent you are, and the Diz Life Network and all of those folks that are friends, fans of the Nerd Life Network. But you know, I'm so excited to talk about this because I had a blast when I was out there.
But here's what I love about your perspective as not a native parks guy, as a guy who doesn't bleed Disney. I want your perspective more than a person like me, because people know me well enough to know if it's Disney, I'm going to find something that I love about it. So I am so excited to see your sort of third party perspective as just a Marvel fan to find out, did this tick all of the boxes off for you? Was it everything that you thought it was going to be? I know that you had said the story of your parents were out there, right?
Yeah.
You were making a special trip. So this wasn't, you know, this was something that kind of came up because of an opportunity.
Yeah. So briefly, my parents had been driving Route 66, and they had been doing it in chunks. So they were doing the final chunk. That's something that my mom and my dad had been wanting to do for a while. So when they were doing the last chunk, which gets you out to Los Angeles, they were like, well, we're going to be close to Disneyland, and we knew Avengers Campus were going to be out there. So I was able to meet them at that part of their trip and go out for a couple of days to do it. And it ticked all the boxes. For a brief park history for me, I've been to Disneyland when I was about 10 or 11. I went out when I was younger, but we only did Disneyland. We didn't do California Adventure. I have I can picture the castle from that memory of that trip, but like that's all memories I had of Disneyland and whatever. So like it was essentially going in fresh for me. And I had been to Disney World previously again, but also younger. And I've just initially, and I know Mark, you'll probably attest to this, like just how much smaller it is compared to Disney World and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I was looking at the park maps and trying to plan things with my mom, and she was like, this isn't Disney World. Like if you're seeing this part of the map and this part, you can get there probably in like 2 minutes or whatever. Like it's very deceiving. And like when you got there, it was like, yeah, like you could get around great and everything. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, specifically California Adventure, I love that park. I had so much fun with everything there, but definitely being capped off by Avengers Campus.
Yeah. And we've been talking about Disneyland, the differences between Disney World and Disneyland on our podcast. And one of the things we're harping on is how small it is. Like you set your expectations and you set your bar based on what you know. Like the paradigm that we know is Disney World, which is four gates, very expansive. You have to walk very hot. Mm-hmm. And I said, the one thing I loved about Disneyland is I had set my bar really high. My expectations were really high. And because of how navigable it was, because how small it was and easy access, the terminology that I used to describe Disneyland is it's like a greatest hits album. Mm-hmm. And that would apply here too, that if you're a fan of Star Wars, if you're a fan of Marvel, if you're a fan of Disney, Disneyland checks all those boxes off, that it's a one-stop shop for fandom, that you can get like your vintage Walt, you can get your Star Wars fandom in. Mm-hmm. Talked about that on Bobby's Frickin' Podcast the other night here on the Nerd Life Network. But if you're a Marvel fan, that's the other thing, man. We have to go to the West Coast because of that contract that we have with Universal. Mm-hmm. We can't get Marvel or the MCU in a Disney park east of the Mississippi.
Right.
As long as Universal is keeping that property up and they're maintaining the rides and they're maintaining the land, they're comic book accurate versions of it. But we don't get to scratch that itch here on the East Coast. We have to fly 5.5 hours west, mm-hmm. even scratch this itch. So this was like the first time in my life I have ever gone to California. And just like you were saying, you know, your last memory was 10. This was raw to me. So this is going to be as honest and of a take. And it's kind of like you're getting the first take from a Disney shill and from a Marvel fan. And we're just going to give you raw emotion. We're not going to hold it back. We're not going to pull any punches tonight. So this is our comprehensive two dudes talking about the Avengers campus. Thank you again for everyone who's hanging out with us here tonight live. If you're watching on replay, let us know in the comments that you're watching on replay. And if you have not yet subscribed to these guys at the Nerd Life Network, please make sure that you're smashing that subscribe button. But Jalen says, never been to Disneyland or World. Going to be experiencing Disney World for the first time in September. I will see you on that trip, Jalen. Yep. I'm going to be joining, and it's going to be fun. I think we're doing Universal, too, on that trip, if I'm not mistaken.
We're doing Horror Nights. Some of us are doing Horror Nights and trying to do Guardians. But yeah, Jalen, I know, is going down for a longer vacation and everything. So she's going to experience both of those for the first time, and especially Harry Potter Land for or World for her. Like, that's going to be great. But we're excited for you, Jalen.
Yeah, Jalen, you're going to, I can't wait. I'm just going to film Jalen's reaction.
Yeah.
First timers, I've done these parks so many times now, man, that I love looking at other people's reactions on the first time when they're doing like Flight of Passage or Everest, because I've done it so many times. So I like to see that joy and that bliss on their faces as they're doing something for the first time. But let's do that with us. Yeah. What was your first impression of Avengers Campus? Like, where did you enter? Did you enter on the Guardians
entered by Cars, I guess, the off of the main center pathway, which would be near the Cars entrance, you know, that entrance past. Well, we were there where the Food and Wine Festival was happening, so we were walking through those pavilions. But yeah, we got right where the big marquee is that you can go. We entered right there, and it's amazing that, like, you just go and then you just feel like, yeah, there it is. Yeah, that was my photo. That's right when you enter on one of the entrances, and you walk in and it feels like you're in an Agent Carter episode, Avengers movie. You're like, you feel like you're right in that New York space or whatever. And it was crazy. Like, you walk in and you start hearing the music, which is just like the greatest hits of everything, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Mark, but it's available now on music streaming, so you can it, like, right when I got back, like, they released the 12-minute cut of the music officially on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, everything. So if you haven't gone or you have gone, you can relive that. And like, as soon as I got back, I was playing that on repeat, because I was just like, it was just like, it's composed by John Ponceo. I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly. He's done the Daredevil TV series, the Spider-Man video games, but he took all the themes and motifs of most of the, like, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Black Panther, Ant-Man, you know, the Avengers, and just weaved it all, and you're just in it the entire time, and you're just experiencing this music. But yeah, we walked in there, and then you see so the first thing we were doing is we did a lightning lane for web slingers. So we went in that way, and we went right into web slingers. We went, like, right in, and we started there, and that's where, and then we just, like, did that, experienced that, which I know we'll get to rides, and then we came out and just experienced the land. We saw the Quinjet. We saw the giant A on the ground. We saw Pims. We saw the Guardians, which was former Tower of Terror, you know, and it was just like, it was incredible just seeing all the detail. And there's a bunch of hidden Easter eggs all around with various things that you can find and such. And so it was a lot of fun just taking it in once we got in there.
Yeah. So I came in quite the opposite end. We went on Hollywood Land. Mm-hmm. Which is, you make that immediate left, you go down to the end of Hollywood Land, and then you make the right. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing you get hit with is the tower.
Yeah.
So I'm a Floridian. I'm used to the Tower of Terror at the end of Sunset for us at Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. So seeing a different tower was really impressive and really cool. But the first time that we went in, it was just getting lit up by the sun. We had perfect weather. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And again, then you get hit with that score of the Avengers campus. Mm-hmm. I want to echo that, because it bears repeating, the mood that they create in Avengers campus and the underscoring and the musical score that is just so prevalent, no matter where you're walking or where you go, it just sets this tone for the land, and it really hits you in the feels. Like, there were numerous times, my daughter had no clue what I was doing, but there were numerous times I would look at my daughter and I would go, "Bring me Thanos." And she's like, "Dad, I don't know what that means." And I'm like, "Kid, that's how I feel." Like, that's how I felt in that moment. Like, I was holding Stormbreaker and the score just matched. And I yelled that phrase like five times. And then my wife smiled at the joy that I had. And she knows how much I love Star Wars, but she even mentioned to me, she goes, "I've seen you in Galaxy's Edge." We opened Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
We had a preview. I cried when I saw the Falcon for the first time. Mm-hmm. She said, "You are gleeful. You are over the top elated right now." She's, "I have never seen you with this kind of smile on your face." I said, "Linda, this is just so cool. Mm-hmm. This is so amazing. I thought it would be fun, but I never thought I would have this kind of emotional and visceral reaction to a theme park land."
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I will say to people. There was a lot of negative press about Avengers Campus. Please don't buy the press. Go and experience it for yourself before you make that judgment, because people said how underwhelmed they were. And I don't know if they were just, it was clickbait, or there was nothing underwhelming about this land to me, Kev.
No, it was not underwhelming at all. And like you said, the way, actually I was thinking that, like, really there were, like, the entrance you went into by the tower, that's like, you get the big tower. It's like, wow. And then I was thinking too, the one that you're, if you're coming from Cars Land, that little crossover from Cars Land by Luigi's, like if you come in that way, you get hit right with the Quinjet and the campus, like the campus headquarters, which is like insane. Yeah. And so, like, the photo that you have up now, we're showing, this was actually when I was there, it was right when Moon Knight was releasing. So, the cast members were saying this guy obsessed with the moon was invading the campus. They weren't sure what was happening. So every night around sunset, he would come out on top with the Quinjet. And that photo, actually, we had when we were there, was a full moon. So I thought it was really fitting that we had Moon Knight and the full moon and everything. But you just get hit with this imagery of, you see the Jeep is there, the Quinjet, the everything. And you're just walking in and you're just like, I'm just in an Avengers movie right now, you know, and you just get chills just like walking and looking at everything.
Yeah. I mean, I was constantly reminded that this land is for children. It's for little kids to live that fantasy and to live their Marvel dreams. But like, I told you this off air a few minutes ago, the characters, and we're going to get into characters later, but the characters are walking all over the campus, whatever the newest property is. Like, Moon Knight's no longer there. Like, he's gone. Mm-hmm. But like, President Loki was out when Loki was the hottest thing. Wanda is still there. She's big, obviously, right now in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So a Scarlet Witch is greeting people.
Yep.
Wanda has come out in the past. Right now, America is meeting people as well. Mm-hmm. That whatever the newest property is, they're doing a really good job of working in these characters. But the characters walk around and they take kids by their side and they walk and talk with them. And it's the coolest thing that the kids are getting a genuine interaction, and they're in character. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the Battle of New York or say, so they're talking about stuff that's going on in the MCU. Captain America was walking by and I just wanted to get a quick picture for, you know, for the photo album. And he looked up. I had the Sam Wilson jersey on, but then I had the Steve Rogers backpack, the Loungefly, which I had been looking for months. Mm-hmm. He stopped and he really admired the outfit, and like he could tell like he was my fave.
Yep.
And he was gonna stop, and I said, "Hey, Cap, you got a lot of young Avengers here. It's cool. Like I think you got to brief these guys on their mission." And he stopped and he looked at me and said, "Yeah, but I'm also here for you too, man." And he said, "Can I get a quick selfie with you?" And he took a picture and I got emotional over it. I was like, wow, that's so cool. Like, he's here for the kids, but he also is acknowledging that there's men of a certain age, you and I, who grew up with these characters. We didn't have the MCU proper, but we grew up with them on the pages and they were our heroes at one point too. And I think that was cool that he kind of recognized how in the moment I was.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, that was one thing I didn't get really to experience, because when I was there, they weren't doing proper like meet and greets. They were just the characters were out, but you would just see them They would walk by and you couldn't really stop with them. And then they would go to a designated spot and they would put like a little disc down of where you could stand to like be, so you could have your photo, but you weren't like right up next to them or whatever. So I definitely missed some of that. But yeah, definitely seeing the interaction of them walking around and yeah, being in character. And then I know we may even talk about it now, but like all the various shows that happened with the characters, you know, was like, was really great. When I was, I think you saw some that I didn't see. I saw the Taskmaster one with Black Widow.
Yes.
Because Black Widow was very prominent.
That's still
much of the time when I was there. We heard, but didn't really see the Dora Milaje one, but we knew that sounded really cool. We just didn't get, I think we were eating at that point at Pim's and, so we didn't really get to see it. And then obviously the Doctor Strange one and the Spider-Man web slinging with the doing his webbing across the park.
They're so creative with the characters there. So it's very different from Galaxy's Edge. People have asked me to compare and contrast Galaxy's Edge. So the Imagineers have kind of put their chips into various things. Galaxy's Edge is immersive in that the land itself is beautiful and it's gorgeous. I'm going to argue, I think Avengers Campus at night is absolutely stunning with the lights and the way that it glows. But Galaxy's Edge, they've put a lot of stock into making it look and feel like you're living in another planet and you're living on Batuu. It's not as fantastical over in Avengers Campus, but where the Imagineers have put their money is in the interactiveness of the land, is specifically the superheroes who come out. At any point, it's always randomized and they're in character. So the characters are interacting with each other, whether it's a staged fight, whether it's Spider-Man swinging and having his own show, which we had a chance to see that. They've invested in the human element. So it's radically different from what you're getting over in Galaxy's Edge, is there's so much more of a human component over here, but it's a lot more random as well. We never knew who was going to come out. And at any given point, you know, right now I'm showing Captain Marvel. This was, again, the Scarlet Witch, who the cosplay for the Scarlet Witch was wonderful. She did a posed photo op and your family could take a picture with her. You used your own camera. This one was taken by a photo pass photographer. The Wasp was there. Scott Lang came out. Scott walked around as well as took pictures on top of the campus. I had a great and funny interaction with the Wasp. And I said, hey, listen, you know, Scott wanted me to let you know he's running late. And she's like, you know, how do you know Scott? And I was like, hey, listen, I'm not really proud to say this, but we did some time together. I think he and Luis are lost in the van, but he'll be here in 5 minutes. And again, you can have those fun interactions as an adult, and it's really great. I had a chance to have this amazing interaction with Iron Man and Thor. Iron Man did the, hey, who's your favorite Avenger? And he's like, before you answer, let me give you a little idea. He's like, billionaire, philanthropist, genius. And I was like, it's you, Iron Man. He's like, thank you. And I was like, you're my favorite, Point Break. And Thor laughed at it. But these characters interact with you. Spider-Man comes out. Yep. You never know at any given minute who you're going to see next. And that's about half of my photos. I have so many Star-Lord, Gamora, Loki, Black Panther. They just pop out of any corner and in a minute, they completely and totally change the tone of whatever area they're in. And the Imagineers have put so much of their time and energy into making the land interactive. And the thing that we mentioned this off air, for little boys and girls to interact with their hero, man, I'm 43 and I still get giddy, but to see little kids, especially, you know, the kids walk up to T'Challa and salute T'Challa and him give them the same thing back. The way that they light up and the way that they interact, America Chavez being embraced. I don't know these kids. I got misty seeing these little kids walking alongside their heroes and the kids being in costume or cosplay. That is magic. Like, I really think that somewhere in heaven, Walt Disney is looking down on that and looking down on what has been created and pointing and going that. This is what I wanted. This is what I had in mind. Because those are core memories for those kids. Like, they're going to be 36 and remember when they met Spider-Man someday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. And yeah, just going back to all the characters, just seeing them populate the land, it just makes it feel like lived in and like alive and everything. And one of the cool, I mean, for me, when I was there, you said you didn't get to see, but because Moon Knight was coming out, Mr. Knight was there. So it was like it was right after episode two, Moon Knight dropped and Mr. Knight was introduced. And so he was posing by the entrance sign by the not by the tower, not by Cars Land, but by that sign. He was like right by that. And they had like this like mist like happening or whatever, you know, and like that one, even though I couldn't stand next to him when I went up to him, like I was talking to him, the guy who was doing it, either he was British or he had a perfect British accent. And like I was talking to him about like getting into the suit and like how it feel, and like he was Stephen Grant. And like for anybody, like especially for the ones that are like Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, she's probably going to be there starting Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. Like to have any kid who, if you're watching with your parents or something, and then you're going to Disneyland right after, and then you could like talk to them, and if they're keeping up, if they know like the points of the show and something, like to have that kind of, it feels like you're part of the universe with them. Yep. And such, you know, and that's, it's such a great experience. But
and to that end, my wife, who is not she's not a Marvel shill, she will always reluctantly go to see a movie with me. It depends on who's in the movie, like the Chris Evans stuff, the Thor. She's more apt to want to come to see those because obviously those gentlemen are so hard to look at.
Yeah.
But she got very into it, seeing the excitement and seeing these characters. She wants to have Marvel Friday now and say, she goes, I want to see all these movies because this land and these characters have intrigued me. I want to see their story because she didn't know who they were. So I would explain to her, like, that's Wanda. She's the Scarlet Witch. That's the Wasp. That's Scott Lang over there. And she would go, these are amazing stories.
Yeah.
And she bought in. So that's another added bonus to the human element of this land. It's a great outreach to people who may not be Marvel fans to then be really fired up and inspired by the stuff that's going on there and energized by it to then want to go and consume Marvel content because they've now had a personal interaction with whoever that character is. It's just so wonderful and magical to watch, man. But I would like to, because you alluded to this, but let's parlay, because it's kind of like they're very similar veins, the shows. Mm. So you saw Doctor Strange. Did you see the Spider-Man Amazing Spider-Man show?
Yep, I did. Yeah, we did see. I saw that during that was like one of the more earlier things we did because that one is more on a schedule. So same with Doctor Strange, those are scheduled. So yeah, the Spider-Man, you know, it's only like what, 5, 7 minutes. It's like, it's not long at all. But we gathered. I knew going in that like he was going to fly. So we were at a good part or whatever. We saw the guy come out, and then seeing him swing, like I know like spoilers or behind the magic, like it's a robot or whatever from the Imagineering story. When that came out, people were like, oh, that looks like Spider-Man. And then they were like, yeah, it's the robot or whatever. But like still seeing it is still wild. It's still crazy just to see that you're seeing Spider-Man fly over a building, which is
It's an audio animatronic in spandex that it's there to do 3 or 4 poses and then lands on a cushion.
Yep.
And then they reset the animatronic, make sure that it's still functioning. And if the animatronic is down and not functioning properly, they still do the show, but Spider-Man just then traverses the top of the building and then rappels down, but he doesn't swing that day. But that runs every 5 to 7 minutes. The Doctor Strange show is about 15 minutes long.
Yep.
Very theatrical. You got an incredible picture from the set. Now, what? I'm not a strange guy. So what is this area again?
This is, it's a sanctum, I guess. In Avengers campus, there's a old sanctum sanctorum that's no longer used, but it's like, that's part of like what has been built out around for the campus, you know? So, so they do this in the day and night, but, through my mom's research who planned our trip, like she was like, you gotta see it at night, you know? So we went at night and, the one complaint I would say for that is like, they definitely pack you all in there. And like, obviously if you could tell in that photo, like most of the people were sitting on the ground there, you know? Yep. And then there's some people. I was right around the outer edge and was like half standing and like leaning against one of the pillars that were there, you know? So like, that was the only thing of like, it's like, it's long, too long that you can't be standing for the whole thing, but it's like not long enough that like, you know, so it's like, you got to sit and whatever. So that was the one complaint of like how they get people in there, but the show itself was fun. You know, I don't know if this changes, but we had Thor appeared for us.
It does change.
Yeah, so I don't know if you saw it, who you saw.
We had America.
You had America. Okay, yeah. So we have part of the show is an ancient evil or something is coming out, and the cast members are the people at Carmitage, the additional sorcerers, and they're helping Doctor Strange. And eventually, he has to summon the help of an Avenger. And that night, we saw Thor come through.
Yeah, my wife. Props to my wife and to Linda. Linda was the best. She was the person who waited on a line for us. Mm-hmm. So she was the first one in line. We got front row seats.
Oh, nice.
I have a great video of it.
Yeah.
It's too long to upload to anything on social media because it's like 15 minutes and it's shot in 4K. But we had front center seats because of Linda. We were sitting right there in the front.
Yeah.
We saw it at dusk and the lights were there. Mm-hmm. But the Doctor Strange is a set show. The Spider-Man show goes off. At random points throughout the day, we also saw the Black Widow. Now, was it Black Widow and Captain America when you saw the fight against Taskmaster?
No, it was Black Widow and Black Panther.
Okay, we saw Cap.
Oh, okay.
And she drops the line, like, I can do this all day. And then Cap comes out and goes, wait a minute, that's my line. And the crowd goes,
oh, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah. It was Black Panther. I'm pretty sure it was Black Panther. The multiple times that it was happening, I'm pretty sure it was Black Panther.
And you know what? For people who frequent these places, that's another, let's face it, that's another cool aspect is the shows, the staging of the show might be very similar.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's interchangeable characters and pieces is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that once Black Widow kind of like leaves the rotation, that they're going to put in another character that like Taskmaster will come out and then we're going to get another villain to populate that show. So that's the other thing with the human element versus just a set piece. The land can constantly be refreshing and it can be changed over time that you can do these multiple visits and you're definitely getting new experiences every single time you go. But Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, the Avengers campus battle on the top of that, I did the dance off. Did you dance off, bro? Did you dance with Star-Lord?
No, we didn't see. I think we didn't see any Guardians when we were there. I think Gamora may come out a few times. Like sometimes in between the shows and the downbeats, like characters will at least for us because of again the restrictions. I don't know if this changed, but they would come out of the campus, the head where the Quinjet was, and just look at the rail and like wave at people like up there or whatever. So I think Gamora may have come out once there, and my mom might have pointed it out, but we didn't see Star-Lord, we didn't see any of the Guardians, so they might not have started up the dance off.
Oh, stuff. It's so fun! So Star-Lord comes out, takes out the boombox, and then he's like, "I got to get out of here." He does a little dancing, and then he says, "I got to get out of here," and he sees that he's being cased by the Collector.
Okay,
and there's a sensor, and he's like, "I can't leave the stage." But hey, listen, if there's a lot of movement, we can trick the sensors into thinking like you or me, and then I can get out through the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, all right, you guys over here, your team Groot, guys over here, your team Rocket. And then there's cast members. My daughter was so I embarrassed the crap out of my daughter during the dance party. I was one of those adults that got singled out by Star-Lord.
Okay.
As I got the point. And I did like the cowboy and a little shimmy that my daughter's going, oh my God, my father is utterly embarrassing me. And I looked at her and I was like, no one's ever going to see me again.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm just going to live my best life over here. But we won. I just want to point out that Team Rocket won the dance off. Gamora was very happy, as was Star-Lord. But again, that's what makes the land so great is the shows are very interactive a lot of times. And you can become part of the story and part of the action. All right, man, we're a half hour in. We haven't even talked about rides yet.
I know. Yeah. I was like, let's get to the rides. Yeah.
This is Disney and we haven't even talked about rides. Okay. So for those people who don't know this point of information, there's two rides currently at Avengers Campus. One was there prior to the opening of Avengers Campus, which was then brilliantly just folded into the campus itself. And that's Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. It used to be the Tower of Terror. Fun fact for you. I know that you may not come to the Disney side of life as much, but the Imagineer who was tasked with doing this was a guy named Joe Rohde. Joe Rohde was simultaneously building Pandora, the world of Avatar, over on the East Coast. So he was jet setting between two coasts, retheming a tower, building an entire land, an immersive land over in Pandora. And they basically gave him weeks with which to do this overlay. He incorporated the acting talent of the original cast. He coordinated with James Gunn. They picked the music and they took a ride, which was traditionally scary and meant to elicit fear. And they said, new tower, new emotion. We want this to be raucous. We want this to be fun. We want people throwing their hands up, not because they're scared. We want them throwing their hands up because they cannot help but party to the music. This is my favorite ride. Just to let you know, this and Guardians over on the East Coast, Mission
Cosmic Rewind
are my number one and my number two rides of all time. Amazing. What do you think of the tower? And the other one is Web Slingers.
You got
to get the Web Slingers too, which you said you paid for Lightning Lane. But let's do Tower first.
Yeah, the tower was great. That was the only, that was one we ended up doing both of the rides there twice, but we did the Guardians a second time because we were like, it was so good. And like, side note for the Disney, we did have the Genie service. And so we were like, it was on our second day and it was towards the end of the day. And we're like, oh, there's a time later in the evening. Like, let's just go do it. We'll do it. We'll have a good time. But yeah, so going with the Genie both times, we didn't really experience the queue as much. So I didn't get to really like look at all the memorabilia and all the collector's items and stuff. So that's like one of the things that I definitely like missed out on, but I tried looking as best as I can and some of the pre-show stuff. But yeah, just going in it and feeling like, yeah, you're in nowhere. You're in like the grungy basement of this collector's building or whatever. Yeah. And then you go in the ride vehicle and you're just like, yeah, it's like, I never been on the Tower of Terror, either one, anytime that in my life. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was the first time, like once I got used to it, I was like, okay, this is great. But like, doing it twice was a good enough time. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So just for you, just to let you know, you've done the Superior Tower. This is going to ruin any tower experience that you will do with us in September.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do the Tower of Terror over at the end of Sunset Boulevard.
Sure.
And I'm just going to predict this. That you're going to go, it's good. It's good. It's no Mission Breakout, but
right.
It's good. This is the Superior Tower. I don't want to spoil the story for anyone who's interested in doing this, but like Kevin said, the Guardians were captured by the collector through the queue. You're walking through the collector's collection and there's all kinds of Easter eggs from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then
Disneyland too. I think there's like,
and Disneyland.
Yeah.
And they need, so the storyline is they need your hands to scan to get out of something.
Yep.
And so they're Rocket, yeah, voiced by Bradley Cooper, show me your hands. But it's, again, it's irreverent. It's raucous. Fun fact for this, there are several song sequences.
Yep.
Each song.
Five, I think.
Yep. Each song has a unique drop sequence that you're never getting the same ride.
And the footage is a little different too, I believe.
And the footage changes in those scenes, but they've changed it from a terror drop to a feeling of weightlessness. And what you get a lot of times is the elevator will hover. And so it's a quick up and down. And then obviously you go up, but then it feels like gravity has abated and you go up and then you come down. My daughter, who is terrified of the Tower of Terror, did not want to do it. Begged and pleaded with us to continue to go on this ride. We did it like 14 times. We would rope drop it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
We made sure that we always got the Lightning Lane for it. We would always try to, when we looked and there was like a low time or a low downtime, we would get on this ride. We did it like 14 times and I could not get enough of the ride. We would get off of it and I'd say, I need to do that again.
Yeah. In all those times, did you see all the songs.
We did. Okay. We did get all five.
It was like that would just be the worst luck that you got like four and you just like didn't get that last one or something, you know? But like, yeah.
So what, I'm just curious, do you remember the two songs that you got?
Oh God, I'd have to like see the list of them and like I could probably tell you what they were. But I think one of it was, is one of them, Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Hit Me With Your Best Shot. There's Parliament.
Not that one. No,
that's my favorite, by the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think we did Hit Me With Your Best Shot, and
there's Elvis. There's the Jackson Five, and
it might have been Elvis then.
Yeah, Elvis one's good
because we definitely had two different ones. I know we had two different ones when we did it, but in the moment I remembered, but then yeah, I forgot. I'd have to look at the list and I'd be like, oh yeah, I definitely know not we got the Funk and Parliament. I know definitely not those two, but
just another reason to go back.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. Yeah, it's another reason to, and that's why when we do Cosmic, if we do Cosmic Rewind, I'm like, I know that has different songs. It's like, I'm going to want to try and experience all those, you know?
You have to collect them like Infinity Stones and just say like, I'm one stone short, got to fly out to California and do it all again. All right, so the second ride, I'm going to defend, man, because I'm going to be honest, the second ride it's much maligned. People really, they kind of crap on this ride and they say, it's just like Toy Story Mania. It's a horrible ride. It's not even fun. It's not even creative. And I'm going to argue the opposite of this, that I think it's a really fun ride mechanic. And I think it's really brilliant the way that they do it. It's called Web Slingers. It's an interactive ride. You don't have to have a gun. You don't have to do anything. It's literally you use your hands. Now you can purchase, they have add-ons and stuff that gives you different, like, it gives you different web shooters and beams. You don't have to buy the merch in order to have fun on the ride. You go on and then there's sensors. And as you move your hands, you can see that they're tracking your motion of your hands. And you're basically, that Spider-Man has enlisted your help. There's spider bots that have got out of control. And with your hands, you are firing at the screen, trying to hit the spider bots and various interactive elements in order to set off chain reactions. And here's what I really liked about the ride. You're always playing for pride. You're always looking at other people's score and seeing how you're comparing. But you play actually as a team, that your car is going to be judged against other cars filled with people. So that if you're all working in tandem to set off different things, you're actually going to do better at the end of the day.
Right.
So there are some people that wouldn't communicate or talk to their teammates. I would always be like, hit that. Cause you can't hit everything.
Yeah.
Cause some of them are time sensitive. And if you have a team that works together, Avengers Unite, like, you're going to do a lot better, man. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on Web Slingers? You did pay for the lightning lane. So I'm
curious. So we went, when we were only there 2 days. So like, obviously, like, we were definitely going to do that. Definitely going to do the cars, racers and Rise of Resistance. Like, we weren't going to wait in lines because we were only there 2 days and like, we're going to do this. So yeah, we bought it the first day and we got in like really early. So it was like one of the first ride or second ride. We did Soar in California first. And then we did our lightning lane for Web Slingers. And yeah, I thought it was great. I liked the pre-show of that. Cause you, at least on the board, you got to see, Harley Keener was there and, Luna, the one who's with Moondragon or whatever, you know, and you saw, and then the Tom Holland video and everything, you know, like him getting in there and everything. That was a lot of fun. And yeah, I thought the ride was fun. It took me a while to get the motion and the mechanic down or whatever, you know, and with you saying Toy Story Mania, we had also done that. And I agree on the similarities. And I would say I might have enjoyed Toy Story a little bit better just because of how you operate that with a gun and it feels like you have more control and everything like that. But I enjoyed Spider-Man, and we did it a second time as a single rider lane, so we were able to get like right in again when we did it our second time and such, you know. But yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought I was more like invested in the story and everything about that and stuff, but it was a fun time.
My daughter, I said this on our podcast too, my daughter was aghast. Again, my wife is not she's not a Marvel shill.
Yeah.
So she doesn't know. She had her middle fingers out and she was shooting with her middle fingers out. Yeah. And my daughter looks over and is like, "Mom, what are you doing?" And she's like, "What?" And she didn't even realize, like, she's flipping off the screen. Yeah. And I'm like, "Linda, Linda, like this."
Yeah.
Like this. And she's like, Oh, like, you're flipping off the entire park right now. Yeah. But it was a comical moment. I didn't pay the lightning lane for it. We got there really early. Like I said, we would hit up these two things. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really creative. And again, for little kids, like, what's cooler than helping Spider-Man on this?
Right.
Like, Toy Story Mania, it's fun, but it's not a core memory. Like, this is something that a little kid's going to look back and remember when they helped Spider-Man take down these spider bots.
Yep.
Again, the immersion's just done so well. Tower of Terror for me, or Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, my bad, is a 10 out of 10. It's an 11 out of 10. I would say Web Slingers is like an 8. It's a solid 8. How would you score them?
Yeah, I'd probably say like a 9 out of 10 for Guardians and maybe, yeah, like an 8 out of 10 for like Web Slingers or something, you know.
I like, you can't, yeah. You're like, I can't give it a 10, man.
Yeah, I can't, I mean, I'm like, I'm not a big like drop person anyways, you know, so like I can't give it like a, because there was still a little bit that I was like, oh, like I got off it like that second. I was like, okay, a little uneasy on the steps there, but like it was still a lot of fun. So yeah, I mean, they're okay. All up there, you know.
Follow up question. You're a non-drop person. Even being a non-drop person, did this ride kind of change that paradigm for you? Like, that's not an area that you're comfortable with. Did the approach and the way that they try to set the mood, did that really change your perspective of what the ride was?
I would say a little bit. I mean, I knew going in what to expect. Like, I knew going in what it was like that I was going to be dropping, you know? So, like, I knew I was going to have that feeling and whatever. And it's like, it's not like I was like, I was like, I knew getting off, I'm going to have the consequences of that or whatever. But, you know, it ended up being okay and everything, you know, and I did enjoy it. And I would say I felt worse on Soarin than I did on Guardians, if that wow. tells you. Yeah, well, Soarin was the first thing we did that morning. And I was just like, like, it's like, it was fun. It was cool. But I was like, yeah, I'm not feeling this after we got off like that. That made me feel weirder, I think, with the motion of that than the drops of Guardians.
Wow, but, that's, yeah. I've never heard that. And that's like, that's so amazing because it's simulated versus you're really dropping.
Yeah.
Soarin' is a simulated and you're only making very small micro movements.
Yeah, maybe it was just something of like the with those movements and like, going in, I knew what it was going to be and like what it was, but like, I just like, that just was not like, that one, I was just not feeling it. I was trying to like look with the motion of it and everything. Yeah, it was not feeling that one. But Guardians, I didn't feel like super great coming off, but it wasn't like as I felt a little worse on Soarin', I would say. So
I like it. Yeah. All right.
Well, before we move on, Guardians, did I thought a fun Easter egg was at the end. Did you see Karina that was employed?
The employee.
It's like, it's great. She's like really good, and it gets progressively worse as she getting upset as the months go on. I snagged a photo of that because I saw it and I like stopped and I was like, wait, I got to get a picture of this because I thought that was a really great Easter egg.
Yeah. So as you get off the ride, there's Karina and they have an employee of the month panel of photos on the wall. And she's obviously always the employee of the month. But as it progresses from month to month, her face and her affect gets worse and worse. But I'd like to think like that last month was where she grabbed the power stone.
Exactly.
That was kind of it.
Yeah.
Dude, but again, great Easter eggs on all of these cues throughout the land. There's just so many nods to the films and Space Dog is in a cage at one point. There's so many things that it's a feast for the eyes that you can walk around and take in so much stuff that even if you don't do rides, even if you, you know, you don't want to do the meet and greets, just the visuals of the Avengers campus, they're arresting and you're going to love seeing all of this stuff. And if Strange isn't in the Sanctorum, you can still hang out in there and take pictures and just kind of drink it all in and realize that, you know, like I'm a part of this story now. And it's so wonderful. But let's get into the food, man. Speaking of immersive, we both saved the universe and then we shawarma'd.
Yep.
So before we get into Pim's Test Kitchen, did you slump and sit down tired from the day and shawarma, or when did you shawarma? Because I felt compelled to shawarma at day's end.
I shawarma'd at the end of our toward like around a dinner time type thing. That was my dinner. My folks got something on the Boulevard in Hollywoodland. And I was like, I want to get shawarma because I think they weren't as adventurous as for what shawarma is, but I mean, I'm from New York, so like I know what that is. I know what it's going to be. So I did get the shawarma. I loved it. I thought it was really great. It was really, really good. And because they have it in two spots, once by the Hollywood entrance and one by the Web Slingers kind of.
Yeah, that's where I got it, by the Web Slingers. And then there was the tables that were set up over by the Avengers Jeep.
Yeah. And those tables weren't there when I was there. I think they were trying to not have people congregate around there. But
We went and sat over there. I should have did a photo op of like all of us eating shawarma, exhausted and tired. Like, I feel like if we ever do a Nerd Life Network trip out to there, I feel like we need to set up that photo up.
Oh, of course.
Of course, all of us eating shawarma exhausted. Yeah. Shawarma was like an 8 out of 10 for me. Really good.
Yeah.
Not being native to New York And having shawarma on the West Coast, I thought they did a decent job of it.
Yeah, I'd say eight and a half. Like, yeah, it was good. I definitely enjoyed it, and I definitely contemplated getting it again my second day. But then I was like, that second day was after Guardians at night, and I was like, oh, I'm not feeling that now. And so we got something else. But yeah, I was definitely contemplating getting it again. But it was very good. Yeah.
Okay. And then speaking of like over the top theming, yep. There's two locations. There's Pim's Test Kitchen, mm-hmm. and then there's another bar. I am having a brand. Do you remember
the testing lab? Isn't it Pim's Testing Lab? Yeah,
Pim's Testing Lab, which are libations and liquid refreshment. Mm-hmm. The theming over there is really cool. Oversized props. They have here's the full menu, and I'm going to say the full menu because we ate everything as promised on this show. I said, when I go to Avengers Campus, I will eat all of the things, and I ate all of the things. Mm-hmm. The oversized beer pretzel, they have the panini. I got the single serving. No, I did not order the $100 panini on my own. I got a single serving of the panini. We got the oversized chicken sandwich. We got the Choco Bar, and then we got the red, white, and blue slushy with the red boba that tastes like a bomb pop. We did get the non-alcoholic specialty drink. I don't drink. So we did get the non-alcoholic drink that had the Pop Rocks in it. And it was like a cotton candy and Pop Rocks in that. Your thoughts on the food, your thoughts on Pim's Test Kitchen. What did you get and what were your thoughts?
We didn't do any of the testing lab. We weren't planning to like really do any sort of alcohol in the park or anything like that. And then I didn't investigate further to know that they had any non-alcoholic things. So I didn't, Mom might've gotten something, but one of the berries, but in any event, we did the big giant pretzel,
okay.
The not so little chicken sandwich, or not so big, however they say it. And then the peanut butter and jelly with the bacon, on it.
Yeah. I skipped that. I actually didn't do that one.
Yeah. I got that one. That's what I mostly got. And my parents mostly shared the chicken, and then we all shared the pretzel. I thought it was fine. I mean, I didn't expect anything. Like, I expected if this wasn't Pim's in another part of the park, I'm sure it would have tasted the same, you know? So like, I didn't think anything, like, I'd say like a 7 out of 10, maybe. Like it all was like, it wasn't anything spectacular, but it wasn't bad by any means.
So, here's like my asterisk. And I have to say this because the way that I eat a chicken breast sandwich, or the way that I like chicken cooked, I like it crispy. I don't mind if it's a little dry.
Yeah.
But the not so little chicken sandwich is a little dry. It's very thin. So the way that they achieve an oversized chicken and the bun is this big is they pound it. Like they flatten it with a pounder, and they make it razor thin, and then it's breaded to the max. And then it's obviously flash fried and deep fried. So it's not a juicy chicken breast by that point. Right. It's very crispy. Now, the only textural thing I can even chicken fries from Burger King are still a lot more squishy and have a little bit more moisture to it. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind that kind of chicken. The taste was very good. But there's going to be a lot of you that will get that will say the thing was very dry. So what I would recommend is either order a side, an extra side of the sauce that they use to top the sandwich. Or if you want ketchup, obviously get a side of ketchup, because you're going to wind up instinctively breaking the chicken off and eating it almost like chicken fingers. It's not going to eat like a sandwich.
Right.
You're going to eat it almost like a piece of chicken. Not keto friendly then, obviously, too, because of the amount of breading that's on this thing. I like chicken like that. So to me, that was a 10 out of 10. We got the extra beer cheese, just a tip. The pretzel's so big. If you don't get extra beer cheese, you will run out and you will regret that. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's a dry pretzel. It's
giant. Yeah. And giant.
And it's dry. But it's meant to be. I like the pretzel. I thought the pretzel was good. It was hot, it was soft, it was fresh. There was no pressed cardboard pretzel there. It was a really good pretzel. I liked the panini. It comes with a side of marinara sauce. It looks and feels and tastes to me like a calzone. Mm-hmm. Very good. I liked the flavor profile of it. It has a little kick and a little tiny bit of spice to it. Not overly spicy, but a little bit of pepperoni. And they serve it with a pepper on top of it. A sweeter pepper, not hot, not a jalapeno. The Captain America drink is a bomb pop in a cup. If you like bomb pops, get it. If you like bomb pops and you grew up here in the East with like Mr. Softee and the Ice Cream Man, like it's nostalgia in a cup. And then the giant Choco Bar, which is a Snickers bar that's about yay big. It's a Snickers bar. It has real peanut butter instead of peanuts, and it has a brownie on it. It is delicious. I loved it. We ate all of the things. I'm like at an 8.5. So I'm like right there with you for Pim's Test Kitchen. If this food were somewhere else, it probably wouldn't get such high marks, but it's creative packaging. Right. And again, it's the ambiance of being there, and it's getting caught up in all of the hoopla that it does elevate the dining experience.
Yeah.
But nothing, you know, nothing all that special. Let's talk about, and we're going to get out of here in a second, but let's talk about the mood and the vibe of the campus at night, man. Very different from the daytime. Your thoughts on the campus at night, and I've got a photo op that I really loved, but what did you think?
Yeah, it was cool to walk through at night. We didn't spend a lot of time there at night, because at least when we were there, my mom definitely wanted to go over to Cars Land to see them turn the lights on over there at night and experience that at night. And then we went out more towards the pier to see that at night, you know, so we were only in the Avengers area for a little bit. But yeah, it definitely felt like, you know, like things are getting quiet for the night. You know, people are setting up their watches, you know, like they're setting up their posts, you know, they're going to make sure everything's in order in the land and everything like that, you know. So but seeing the tower light up and the Quinjet light up and everything just in the lights and everything was like super cool.
So I'm going to use this as a tip for people that, in my opinion, this is the time of day that if you purchased, Disney has a thing called Genie Plus. At Disneyland, when you buy Genie Plus, you get included in that package. It's $20 a day, and you get included in that unlimited photo pass downloads.
Yeah.
This is the time to find those photographers and to pose and to practice that superhero pose. Mm-hmm. You do something called magical or magic shots. And they ask you to pose in four or five various ways. And then you can get these incredible magic shots. And they're included in the price of the photo pass. But to me, this is when Avengers Campus really, really shines. Is when everything is lit up. The photo pass photographer's there. Some of the crowds have moved on. There's a lot more people watching the World of Color. And they're checking out the nighttime spectaculars.
Oh, just so see, when we were there, that wasn't happening yet. So those shows, the World of Color wasn't back yet. So people were still, they were still all around. So
yeah, everybody. Yeah. So for us, everyone was checking out World of Color. Mm-hmm. And like, again, let me pull this up.
Yeah.
Look at how empty, man.
Yeah, that's empty. Yeah.
There's nobody
around.
And you could see the tables behind.
Yeah. Those weren't there when I was there. Yeah.
Those are those overflow tables that we ate our shawarma at. But nighttime, as a hot tip, this is a really great time to drink it all up. The tower looks great. The Quinjet looks great. Mm-hmm. That sign that you took a picture in on the entryway is lit up. There's a great photo opportunity there as well.
Yeah, that's where I did my night magic shots and everything.
Yeah, this is just the perfect opportunity to really, I would say, commune with the space and get a sense of your surroundings. The music is there, and at this point, there's no buzz of a crowd, so you can really hear the soundtrack. This was the time that, like, I got hit in the feels from the land, and I really took it in. And then I walked over to finish it up, man. I walked over to the plaque. There is a sense of history. They understand the assignment there. So at the entrance, there's a plaque and a dedication to the incomparable Stan Lee. Excelsior, the one cast member got me a little emotional. We were just talking and he said, "Have you seen the plaque?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "I'll tell you what, man, every day before I knew my shift, as I'm coming into the campus to do like my stint for Tony," he's like, "I have to touch the plaque."
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's like, I know, you know, the man behind who made all of this possible.
Right.
And that's the other cool thing is the guys and women that work there.
They know. Yeah.
They know how awesome of a gig it is to be working at Avengers Campus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so, like you said, at night, you get definitely a different vibe, especially if you're there and other things are happening in the park where people might be going towards that. Like you could just like be in it and it's like maybe not as crowded as midday and whatever, and you can just like look around and see all the lights and everything that's happening or whatever and get those cool photo shots and everything. So yeah, it's definitely a great experience daytime and in the evening.
All right, before we get out of here, I need to know, let's imagine you're, I'm going to bring you into the Disney side of things now, ready?
Sure.
Let's imagine you're a third ride. What would be a ride idea that you would have if we're expanding Avengers Campus, which they're going to, but what would be the ride that you would create?
Oh man. I mean, I feel like it needs to be some sort of coaster, right? Like I feel like it's gotta be some sort of coaster because you have like the AR VR ride of Web Slingers. Then you have like a drop thrill ride with Mission Breakout. But yeah, I don't know, maybe some sort of, a roller coaster with like literally you could theme it to like any of the characters that aren't there, but like preferably not one that's in another park, you know, like, cause I know they have the Ant-Man one, Nano Blast or whatever that's out in Hong Kong. And the one that's going to be out in Paris with Captain Marvel is coming out soon, you know? So, I don't know. Maybe like I think Brian had this as a question for Family Feud, I think, or he just asked this, I forget, but like which character. And I think I said like Shang-Chi would be a great one, like Black Panther or a Wakanda based one would be pretty cool, you know? I don't know what's under technically the headquarters with the Quinjet, but that feels like that's waiting to be a ride of something, you know, in there, you know, or like that's waiting to be a queue or something to lead to a ride.
But it looks like it would be the entryway to a show building for something.
Yeah.
Something, all right. So you've got me, the creative juices flowing. Mm-hmm. You said Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride the dragon.
Ooh,
in Shang-Chi. That's the experience.
A Tao Lo coaster of riding Great Protector.
I want to ride the Great Protector in a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Sold. You win. Kevin wins the night.
Yeah.
That's the idea that we're going with. Or, Disney, put it in the bank. Like, I know they're listening right now. Disney, you just got an idea. Kevin's not going to charge you for it.
I just want to be their opening day, first ride, or, you know, we'll do that. That's what we'll be fine. What if even like combine it like a world of the MCU of like you're riding the dragon or something like through Wakanda, through Tao Lo, or like through the mystical parts or something like that. Like incorporate a bunch of them or something, you know, like just make it like all inclusive.
Dude, let's make it happen. With the last minute and a half that we have, your overall assessment of the land. Are there any thoughts that you have for improvement? Is there anything that you'd say, not really meeting the bar for me? They could be doing this better.
No, I don't think, honestly, I was just so in awe the entire time I was there. It was so great. It was like, literally, it was a dream come true of getting into this franchise that all of us here love so much, you know, and just like living, breathing it. I mean, I didn't have any expectations. Like I said, I got there and it was just like there. It's just like, yeah, I'm curious, like you said, it felt very like learning that it used to be a Bugs Land, and then how the Guardian, the Tower of Terror was there, and then they like repurposed that into the land. And like, it's just fascinating of how, because like we said, the park's not that big, and like, you know, there's maybe a little bit of extra land, but like how much more can they expand around and what could they include and everything like that. But it was, definitely a 10 out of 10 was so good. And like I said, I definitely would want to go back where maybe the meet and greets were still there. So like you could actually go up to a person or a character and have that or whatever and experience that. And, it was so much fun. So great.
To echo everything that you just said, yes, the only thought that I would have for improvement is more, give me another ride, continue to expand the lore of it. I'm all in. This place was an 11 out of 10 for me. I dropped the hot take. It might be better than Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
Might be. And you know, that's high praise coming from a Star Wars chill that I've gone on record numerous times with how Galaxy's Edge changed me to my core. Yep. Avengers Campus may right now hold the top spot for the best themed land for me in all of the parks. I lived there. I never wanted to leave. I need to go back out to California. Brian, can we get Brian, as you listen to this on replay, can we please get a Earth's Mightiest Weirdos take down Disneyland? Because sign me up, bro. I'm there. Let's do it. Let's cut the cost. Share some hotel rooms. Let's make this happen, man.
I do that.
Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you for trusting me with this microphone today. Thank you to everyone who hung out with us live. Thank you to everyone who hung out with us on the replay. If you haven't already done so, make sure you're smashing that subscribe button for these incredible weirdos that are assembling every single Monday. And be sure to join us next week, Kevin, for Kevin and myself. Let's go out in the words of the mighty Stan.
Well, yeah, I guess. And before we do, Brian would kill us if we don't. We'll plug Nerd Life Network. We have Comics and Cinema tomorrow. I think we have an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Friday. Thursday is, if we don't have it, it will be on Thursday. We have a Nerdy Girls After Dark. And then also please like and subscribe to our Instagram page, Earth's Mightiest Weirdos, where you can find me doing every week our Earth's Mightiest Minute, where I wrap up the big news stories of the MCU every week. And yeah, had to get that in there because I know Brian would want us to. So please continue, Mark. Close us out.
Nice. I was just going to say, nice job. Thank you so much, everybody. Brian will be back next week. And until then, Excelsior.
Excelsior.
Earth's Mightiest Weirdos is brought to you by Pinch of Pixie Dust Travel. People who love travel understand that life isn't about the breaths you take, it's about the moments that take your breath away. That's why we help coordinate the most magical adventures for you and your family. Disney, Universal, Sandals, Norwegian, Carnival, and more, we are a full-service concierge travel agency that will help with every aspect of your journey. Let us take care of the details while you enjoy your family. Get a quote today by calling us at 570-832-7798 or fill out a trip request form at pinchofpixiedusttravel.com. Just follow the second star to the right straight on to your adventure. That's pinchofpixiedusttravel.com, where you're making memories one trip at a time.